I don't know why I bother getting this stick in focus, because it's moving. What a pointless exercise. Hello everyone, welcome back to the show. It's been a funny old time in the last few weeks for me. Get out of here, squirrel. Because I've been furiously editing together the perfect week and making all the stuff to go with that. And I realise that we've been doing lots of pinhole stuff recently, which is fine, I enjoy that, but I do want this podcast to be about other things, and I have a perfect opportunity today to try something different out. Some of you may be aware that I had the fortune to guest on the Lensless podcast, which was a wonderful surprise, and I thank those guys for inviting me along. It was a ton of fun. But one of the things I talked about on there was my desire to try out direct positive paper. And in the meantime, I've also got a new large format lens, which is a Fujinon W5.6 150mm. So I'm going to be using that today. I'm going to be using the large format camera, and I'm going to be trying out Ilford's or Harman's direct positive paper for the very first time. I'm also going to be trying out PhotoSpeed's PD5 developer, because I had my eye on it for a while and I decided to get some when I did my big film order. Obviously I don't know how it's going to come out, but I'm messing with three different variables today, which is potentially going to be tricky. Now, Corey mentioned that this paper is tricky and can be quite difficult to use, so I'm going to be testing out initially different ISOs to shoot at using a single subject. Then I'm going to try out this developer and see what this lens is capable of. So there's a lot of stuff going on today, and so I've not used the large format for a while. The reason for that is I didn't release this episode because it was pretty terrible, but I went out for a shoot with a camera that I'd built long, long ago, and the lens that I had, the one that Lyndon Booth fixed, and he did fix it, he did a real good job. This isn't in any way related to what he did. I think the lens itself was just fundamentally broken, and no matter how many times it was repaired, I don't think it would have ever worked. So that lens didn't work, the problem returned. Like I say, no fault of Lyndon's, he did a wonderful job. He is a wonderful person and you should continue to use his services. The lens itself was, like I say, just knackered. So I've still got it. It can still be used for something, I'm sure. But the shutter's just broken, which is a shame. But I did buy a new one. I thought, what the hell, might as well just plump up for a new one. So that's what I did. And today is the day that I find out what it's like. I've kind of tested it. It does seem to work at all the shutter speeds. I've noticed no problems. And that's, that's going to be today. So I'm just going to get my developing trays all ready. Not going to mix the chemicals up just yet, because I want to just get the film, the paper shot first. Now the reason I want to try this direct positive paper so much is because I like the idea of making a single image that you can't really reproduce. It's kind of the same as wet plate, but wet plate is far outside my realms of possibilities at the moment, and that's not a problem. I've not got that much interest at this time of life of trying it. Obviously, I'd like to give it a go, but as a permanent solution, I don't think it's something I'd be that interested in. But this direct positive stuff, it seems like it's a good go-between. You know, you get the advantages of a single image that you can use, and you also get the advantage of it being on fibre paper, which is nice. But you don't have all the hassle of mixing up dangerous collodion and having to faff about waiting 10 minutes. So I think there are going to be some advantages here. Also, this is what I mentioned on the Lensless podcast. I'd like to try making little tiny positive prints out of the Holga. And I was going to start with that today, but I think that that's going to be tricky simply because of the shutter speeds. I did modify the Holga. I glued a thread on the front which allows me to do sort of longer exposures. So I want to try that. I want to try it in the strange finder, certainly. But I wanted to start with the large format just because I've not used it for a while and I'm kind of want to. So I need to work out this. Let's shoot the papers first. Let's do that bit first before I start mixing stuff up. So my plan is to shoot. Okay, I'll tell you about my plan. I watched in preparation for this a video by Joe Van Cleve. I think I'll try and put it in the show notes. I've been a bit crap at putting stuff in the show notes, but he's if anyone listens to the Homemade Camera podcast, you'll have heard this name. He is a great guy and he does a wonderful YouTube show, and he loves this stuff. He's always messing about with it, and he did a show where he tried out different speeds, and he tried it at 3, 6 and 9 ISO. So that's what I'm going to do today. Just to start with, I'm in my garden, I'm nowhere terribly exciting. But whatever I find out from this, I'm going to take out into the field and try something down by the river. And my subject for today is our statue of Laurel and Hardy, because it's funny. Okay, so this is the setting up the large format camera. So yeah, I'm going to try the three different ISOs because I want to try and find one that works best for what I want. It's not overcast. It's like 50-50. There's some blue sky, but there's some cloud. And I'm taking Corey's advice and shooting this in lower contrast conditions just to start with, just to see if I can get a bit of a handle on it. I prefer it, if I can, not to have to do any pre-flashing. I'm expecting some issues, but we'll see how it goes. So the first one's going to be at 3, second one's going to be at 6, and the third one is going to be at 9, and then I shall develop them and see what the results are like. Okay, let's put this new lens on and see what it's looking like. This is the most exciting bit, I think. So for this one, I've actually got two lens caps, which I've never had before, and it's actually got a cable release screw on it, so I can use the cable release without me super glue stuff to it, which is just fab. Okay, let's get this in there, and there's a little lever to open it up, and I want it at its widest aperture. Now I need my black t-shirt so I can focus. I'm always worried the neighbours are going to come out and see what I'm doing and want to talk to me about it, so I'll just try and do this as quick as I can. Okay, the back's tilted a little bit, which I don't like. Straighten that up. There we go. Right, focusing time. So I've just dropped the lens board down a little bit because it's it was a little bit high. Okay, that's focused. Maybe I could get a bit closer because they're not filling the frame. I'll tell you what, this lens is bright though. Much brighter than the other one. That's fantastic. Let's see if I can get a bit closer. No, I can't get closer because the pond is in the way. Right, I'll just straighten everything up and I'll make my first exposure because the sun is actually coming out. It's only a test. It's only a test. Okay, got my film holders, light meter. So, ISO 3. Darkest part of the scene is going to be there. And the brightest part where I want information is going to be there. 9, 12. Awesome. So F8, that is half. No, it's 2 seconds. I don't have 2 seconds. I'm going to have to just count it. F8. Okay, let's just see how that fires. Put my cable release in. He's always nervous when you're using a new thing. Fires perfectly. So I'm just going to do a rough 2 seconds. It's not going to be perfect by any stretch. So this is ISO 3. F8, 2 seconds. One, two, there you go. So if that was 2 seconds, ISO 6 means it's going to be 1 second, which I do have on my lens. So I can rotate that round to one and just try that out. Awesome. So I'm going to use that side for this one. So this is number 2, ISO 6 for 1 second. And then ISO 9. Is that side of the film holder is of course going to be, oh, I've only got 12. Yeah, I'll do 12. Half a second, obviously. So half a second, F8. There we go, job done. So I shall take all that inside and I shall mix up some developer now. Whoa. Got the wind chime. Oh, it's good to have a lens that works. Very good to have a lens that works. Okay, so you just stay there. Whew. Okay, let's go see what we've got. Let's mix up some chemicals. Now, in the past, I've exclusively used Ilford's multigrade developer, but I was ordering, putting the order through, and I had the multigrade in, and I thought, you know what, you love PhotoSpeed, you absolutely love it, why not give it a go? What's the harm? I like their digital papers. I like the company, so if PhotoSpeed wants to, be involved in the show, give us a shout. So I thought I'd try their developer out. It's PD5 developer. It's paper. And you mix it 1 to 9. And it takes 2 minutes to develop. So, what's that? 77. How am I supposed to measure out 77? I'll have to do best guess. Oh no, I've got some special measuring jugs here. Now it only goes to 75, but I'm sure I can do something with that. Oh, and it's got one of those lids that doesn't quite, it's got a foil lid on it, of course. Now, I did want to talk while I'm here about my printing desires, because I do want to do more printing, but I built my darkroom, and all those people listened to the darkroom build episode, thank you. I didn't think it would get as many views as it did, but I did that, and then I automatically, the minute I'd built it, pulled down my enlarger, because it didn't work. I was using a Kaiser VCL, VLC, something, 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 60. It's a colour head enlarger. So I was using that to do the contrast filters. But, and here is the but, I was finding it very difficult to do any kind of split grade printing, because the head of the enlarger, the actual bit that allows it to rotate back and forwards, was broken. So I would, with this one, you could either use filters or you could use the colour heads, and I would dial one setting, I would make the exposure, and then as I was dialing in the other setting, it would move a little bit, and that would just be that. No way of keeping it stable. So I pulled it down, and my idea, and I've wanted to do this for a long time, was to build an enlarger, which isn't that hard, really. You can build a camera, you can build an enlarger. So I did. I have built an enlarger, and it works up to medium format, which is fine. But I wanted to build one that could do 4x5, and I miscalculated the bellows, and for some reason I miscalculated the size of the top. So at the minute it cannot be used to print 4x5. It's got a 4x5 negative carrier, and I can put 4x5 sheet film in it, and using my medium format lens I can make a print at 8x10 on 4x5, but it has serious vignetting and it is no good. So at the minute it's unusable for 4x5, which is a shame, but I have a plan. I've got some things I can do to swap that out, but that's why I've not been doing any printing, because I don't have an enlarger that functions. However, that is going to be rectified, because like I say, I've got a plan to deal with that. Now the other thing is about printing, is I've been using RC paper, which again is okay, but I really want to make the move to fibre paper. I know it's more expensive, but I feel like the print quality will just be better. And my aim with all this is to make better imagery, and if I know that I'm going to be making fibre prints, then I'm going to be making better negatives and printing less, but printing more appropriately, let's say. So my plan is to do prints on fibre paper, but again, that's a story for another time. Right, I've got my print developer mixed up. I've got my other chemicals set up and I'm excited. So this is the first one. This is the ISO3. And remember, I've developed prints, I've never made a fiber print before, really. I've done once, long time ago, but it wasn't very good. And I've never, ever, ever done direct positive. So this is entirely new for me. So this is ISO3. And we want, I can't really do 2 minutes because I don't have any kind of timer. So I can't even hear the clock. I'm just going to have to guess. So in goes the paper. And this is glossy stuff. And I'm going to watch intently as this positive image appears. And I'm going to hope that I put the paper in the right way around. Okay, there's something there. Wow, that's insane. Oh, it's contrasty. Oh, it's real contrasty. That's absolutely fantastic. So I've got good shadow detail, I've got rubbish highlight detail. I think maybe I placed my highlights too high. I'm thinking that the shorter shutter speeds are going to be better. Maybe. Because the highlights, oh no, because it would be backwards, wouldn't it? So, you'd think the longer ones would be better. Right, but the positive image, oh, that's fantastic. They say, and I've experienced this a lot, the magic of watching a print develop in the tray is really something, but this is something else. Seeing a positive image come out in the tray, that's incredible. Okay, that's 2 minutes, I think. Wow, so that's gonna go in the stop. And while that's in the stop, I'm going to get on with the next one, which is, I think it's the 6, but I could be wrong. It's hard thinking how this is going to look because it's not a negative. Having to think backwards, and I have hard enough time thinking forwards. So okay, here we go, second image. This fiber paper is thick. Wow. Now it took quite a while for it to appear, so I'm just going to agitate slowly and keep my eye, because it took, you know, it took a few seconds to appear on the paper. And at first I thought there was nothing there. I thought I'd made a mistake and I thought I was going to have to admit defeat early in the process, but the image did appear. It started very faint and then it slowly came into being. And I can see the edges. Oh, This one's totally black. How can that be? I wonder if I didn't put it in the film holder properly. Or I wonder if I didn't put it in the back of the camera properly. Okay, so that one's a dud. And I will just say I did buy a box of this stuff so that I could have problems like this. I knew I was going to have problems. I'm fully aware that there will be problems, and it's fine. I bought a whole box of this stuff to play with, not with the intent of making beautiful images. I really did want to try and get this right. So I'm going to stick the last one in. I think the last one was ISO 12. Hopefully I put it in the back of the camera properly. Seems like a bit of a rookie error to do to me, but again, I haven't shot large format for a good couple of months now. So we'll see how it looks. So this is the third one. And I'm astounded at how tough this paper is. It's something pretty special. Okay, so I've got an image on this one. And I can already see that there's a lot more detail in the highlight areas. And there's a lot less detail in the shadow areas. So, I need to think about this backwards, don't I? If I'm wanting to make a negative, I want to build up detail in the shadow areas. I want to give it a longer exposure to build up those shadow details. But because this is a positive and I want to maintain, I think the priority is to highlight detail, because that's what it's going to have to be highlight detail, I think, because on the first one the highlights were totally blown out because it was overexposed. So in this situation, you're cutting out the middle step, you're going straight to the positive, so it's it's just overexposed, which is bad, because this might be too underexposed. So it's backwards. So the higher ISO is less exposure. Is that right? Because 12 I had for half a second, whereas 3 I had for 2 seconds. And 6 went black. So I think that I'm going to try 6 again. You know, where's my box of paper? I'm going to try 6 again because I can't deal with inconsistent data. Right, that's been 2 minutes in there. That can go and stop. I am just flabbergasted by this. And you know, it's not that bad. It's just working out the correct ISO settings to use. It's not that impossible. I was worried when I bought this, because I've absolutely fallen in love with my Strangefinder camera, and my first thought was that if I liked this, then I would just abandon all my other pinhole cameras and go straight to shooting this at 4x5 pinhole. And I think my fears may well have been founded in reality, because this would be perfect for some pinhole. But I don't have a 4x5 pinhole camera. sacrilegious as that may be to a camera builder such as myself. Okay, let's get you in there. I don't know what the actual ISO of this paper is. I think it's 1 or 3. Okay. It is very contrasty, I will say that. Right, let's go see if we can get something out of 6. I'm going to have to cart my entire camera outside again. Might try to photograph something different this time. I might try the face. Yeah, I'm going to try the face, which means I need to lower the camera down a bit. Ba-ba-ba-ba. Let's get this in position. This face has a... it's against the wall, so it should be a bit of a darker background. And the sun is trying to come out, so I need to work quick. Okay, let's see. I wonder if I could build a 4x5 pinhole camera. Quick. I don't really have anything material-wise to hand. Okay, let's open this lens. I love this lens. This lens is just great. Oh no, the sun's coming. Right, so this face is it's just a stone face, but it's very nice. Plants growing out the top, and it's got some nice highlights and shadow detail. So there's plenty to play with. Let's just meter it up very quickly. For ISO 6, where's my... oh, the meter's downstairs. I'm going to load the film holder properly this time. Stay where you are, son. I think that was the problem last time. The film holder was not properly installed into the back of the camera. So if this works, what I'm going to do is load up 4 sheets, I think, and just head down to the river and make some exposures down there. So I want 6. Okay, ISO 6 f8 1 second is what it wants. So this is a 1 second exposure. Okay, let's go develop this and see how it looks. I realise that maybe I should have used the Laurel and Hardy again, because then it would give me a consistent set of results instead of changing my subject halfway through. But it's a similar thing, similar settings, well, similar lighting conditions, let's say. Okay, this is nice. It reminds me of being back at college. Darkroom just set up. Me wandering around experimenting. Those were the days. Those were the days. I've been doing this darkroom stuff almost as long as I was doing digital stuff. This is where I think this is my happy place in photography, doing faffing about in the dark room, not necessarily printmaking, just trying stuff out like this. Alright, I've got something. It is very contrasty, but it's very beautiful. I love how dark it gets. I think of all the things I've tried, this may be the most magical. This this direct positive paper may just be the most magical thing. Because that is absolutely stunning. It's amazing that you can make a print just like that. Unbelievable. And there's loads of things you can do with this. I'm imagining all sorts of options, like, you know, solarization, pinhole stuff, portraits. It'd be great. So I'm going to take these two of Laurel and Hardy to my sink to wash them. And that black one can go to the bin for all I care. And then I'm going to load up and head out to the river. It's still early and there should be nobody about. Awesome, direct positive paper, who'd thought? I would get a chance to play with this. Okay, I'm going to load up now and I will catch you when I am down at the river. Alright. Because I'm sneaky.
Cheers, Dad.
No worries. Oh, hello. Little white pooch. My pooch is still in bed, it's too early for him. Ah, right, so. Got four sheets. I probably won't use them all, but I've come to my local photographic testing ground. It's the river. It's minutes from my house, a couple of minutes. But I'm not actually at the river yet. Instead, I've come to the abandoned trailer, which is. Whenever I'm testing something new, it's always my first port of call because it's so cool. And I imagine that on this really contrasty paper, it'll look good. I'm not going to spend any time making a beautiful composition. I'm literally just going to set up, look at it, and go. There's lots of shadows and highlights and foliage, and you know what, I've never taken a dead-on picture of this thing, so today might be the day to do that. I've got to be careful because there's tons of nettles and things, but I should be able to get it all in frame. Now the sun is there, which is a problem because it's going to increase the contrast of the scene, but if I wait for a jot of time when the sun's gone in, should be all right. Okay, I might be able to stand here and do this. Right, so I set up just here. And I put the camera in landscape mode rather than portrait mode. I don't know how long this trail has been here. I don't know whose it was or what it's for, but it's great. The looks like the sun's going to be out for a bit. Maybe this was a bad idea. Maybe I should go and find something else while I wait for the clouds to roll back over. Or I could just stop belly aching and get on with it. So what I've discovered so far is that short exposures give you the best contrast control, but they also, obviously, don't give you any shadow detail. Which, if you're like me, and you like dark shadows, not the series, then it's not too much of a problem. But if you wanted an overall decently exposed scene, I can imagine it being a bit of an issue. But we'll see what we get. Oh, do you know what? The sun is going to be right on this thing. There's going to be absolutely no point. When I came out, the sun wasn't out at all. Well, we've set up now. Let's just see. Can't hurt to see. Okay, t-shirt on. Not that I can fit all of it in anyway, because it's just too big and I'm too close. But I might be able to... No, do you know what? I'm going to do it because it's a good chance to see the kind of detail that you can get with this thing. Right, let's just focus on some rusty paint there. If I go for something like F11, that's going to give me a decent overall sharpness. Not that we care about such things in the modern world. So, I want detail there. And that's 13. So if I put 13 on middle grey, the darkest point's 10. So if I put 13 on zone 6, that should be okay. And at F11, I'm on half a second. So I can dial in F11, I can dial in half a second, and I'm going to have to totally change that now because the sun's come back out. But if I wait for that cloud to disperse, then we shall see what we shall see. Right, I'm putting my first dark slide in. I'm going to make sure that it's in, and I'm going to wait and see if the sun goes behind that cloud, because if not, I'm going to have to change my plan to 1/8 of a second. But let's just see where the clouds move. I shall take a picture for Instagram while I'm waiting with my fancy ass new phone. Oh yes, focus on the lens please. I think I'm going to have to go with 1/8 of a second. Nope, spoke too soon. The sun has gone behind a cloud, so I'm going to expose this paper. Damn, dark slide wasn't in properly. I'm going to expose the other side. Oh, that's annoying. It's not sitting in properly. There's a gap. I'm going to have to sort that out. Okay, here we go, 1/2 second. That is very annoying. That's never been there before. Why has that suddenly appeared? It's a pretty significant gap. I'm going to have to look at that and do something about it. Okay, so that was the trailer. I'm going to head down to the river now and take another shot. If I can get this cable release off. Oh, it's good to be out with a large format camera again. I have missed it. But if there's problems with the dark slides going in, then that's going to be an issue for future shoots. Looks like I'm going to have to do some minor editing of this thing before I use it properly again. So the next one I do, I'll have to do in portrait orientation, just because of this minor issue. Okay, the camera's away. Now, can I get out of here? Is the gate open or am I have to go all the way around? It's locked. I'm going to have to go all the way around. Right, I shall speak to you again when I get down to the river. Can people look for TFTMB on Twitter? Should people go to Tales from the Magic Box podcast on Instagram? Can people email the show at talesfromthemagicbox@outlook.com? Auntie, can we be now found on Facebook? Can people support us on Ko-fi by following the link in the show description? Okay, so I'm walking down the woods to the river and the sun's out, so we've got speckledy patchy light. So I'm kind of worried that the scene I'm going to photograph is going to be too high contrast. And that's potentially an issue. The other problem is the water is very high at the minute and very fast. So it's going to be very difficult for you to hear what I'm saying. So I'm just going to go and take a look down here. And I'll probably speak to you again when I've made a decision. Okay, so that should be a bit quieter for you. I did make an exposure. I had to sit down, so couldn't access the camera very well. I pointed it at the tree and the water, and I exposed for 4 seconds at f11. So hopefully the film back was on. I had the camera tilted down a little bit, so gravity should have helped. But with any luck, there'll be less light leak on that one, but I don't know, I'm not sure. So I'm just coming down here because what I actually want to do is try and get a bit of a faster shutter speed on this water. There's lots of nice water and ripples here, and if I can get, I can see what this film is like, this paper is like, at a bit of a faster shutter speed, that'd be great. So I've got some nice rocks in the scene and some nice ripples, so I'm going to try and do a bit of a, not, you know, not like a 125th, but maybe a 15th of a second, 8th of a second, get a little bit of movement, but still some three dimensionality into this water movement. And this is going to be my last one, because if you remember, I brought out 4, I messed up one, and I might have messed up more than one, but who's counting? Not me. Right, so if I just level this up, I'm going to shoot this one in portrait, absolutely, I should have shot the last one in portrait. It doesn't matter really. I'm just trying out different shutter speeds and different things. So let's get the old lens put on. I'm absolutely loving this lens. It just works, which is great. And it's not too heavy, it's just great. So I can open that all the way up. Open that up. Let's do some focusing. I'm not doing anything special. I'm not doing any random tilts and shifts and things. I'm literally just, you know, focusing on pretty much everything. Wow, even when it's dark. Even when it's dark, it's good. Right, so I'm going to try my best to focus on these rocks. There. Not too bothered about the focus on the water, although there is a nice stick in the foreground there. This is where the Scheinpflug principle really comes into play. So now I've got the rocks and the stick in focus. The rocks are about, well, more or less in focus. The rocks are roughly about 20 feet away, and the stick is about 6 feet away. So I'm going to expose my darkest part of the scene. Is going to be obviously the water, and that's going to be 5. So there's no contrast in the scene whatsoever. And that makes me very happy. Although it doesn't, because now I'm getting I'm getting shutter speeds of 30 seconds. And I could wait for the sun to come out. But I don't think it's going to. So I'm just going to go for... I'm going to do a 2-minute exposure at f16, because why not? And I'm not even going to use the cable release, believe it or not. See, this lens has a T function, which means that when you press the shutter, it stays open until you press the shutter again. So that works just fine. So I'm going to set my phone for 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Although the sun has just come out. How does that change things? It's no different. Absolutely no different. Hang on. The longer I expose, the more blown out it's going to be. Shall I do 2 minutes? No, I'll do 2 minutes. I'll just do it. Okay, dark slide's coming out. The film holder is in place. I'm going to set the shutter going. It's open. And I'm just going to wait. So screw the three-dimensionality of the water. I just can't do it. I'm looking forward to seeing how these develop. It's one thing seeing something fairly simple from your garden, but it's another thing seeing how a landscape shot works. And also, I'm excited to see how this 2-minute exposure comes out, because that will give me a bit of an indication on how it would work with pinhole, and potentially how it might work with the Holga during a long exposure. Because that's going to be one of my next experiments. This might end up being a 3-episode little series here. the Direct Positive trilogy. How about that? So yeah, there's plenty to experiment with, and I've got all weekend to do so. Four, three, two, one. So, close the lens. Dark slide is in. And now I'm going to head back to the dark room to develop all these papiers. So I shall see you there. Man hasn't been. Right, let's see. Okay, post lady hasn't been. Let's go and develop these three images and see how well it performed. So the first one was the trailer. You know, I can't even remember what it was, wasn't it? 20 minutes ago. And that was, I can't remember. But the second one was definitely 4 seconds, and the third one was 2 minutes. 2 stinking minutes. Right, so that one was fogged, so I'm not going to look at that one. This is the first one I'm going to develop, is the trailer. And if you haven't noticed already, all the images that I talk about in this show are on my blog, and you can go to the blog and you can see the images and read a little tiny bit about them. I don't write a lot. And you can watch video image reviews. Now, there are video image reviews all the way back to my Epic Pinhole Rant episode. And if you want to see the images that I make, they are all on the blog. They might be a little late sometimes, but eventually they do end up there. I've been, because of this lockdown, I've been actually pretty good at keeping up with it, so most of them are up there. Please go check it out and watch my videos. Right, I've definitely got something. And it looks, it flips, that's it, because it's, yeah. Okay, so there's detail there. It's still very contrasty, but there's tons of detail. I think there is a bit of fogging going on at the edges, but I like that you can get areas of detail where you want them, and you have to sacrifice the shadow areas. I really don't mind that. You just have to think about the kind of picture you're making and how that translates. How that's going to work. You have to be aware that you are going to sacrifice shadow areas if you want detail in the highlight areas, which I have got, I think. It's hard to tell under this safe light. But they are very moody pictures. I do like them. What was I going to say then? I never thought. That'll come back to me. Yeah. Let's not beat about the bush. Let's get the others in. Might as well develop them all at the same time. Or should I wait? It's quite nice having an image of a certain size just there, and that being the image. Right, I don't know which one this is going to be. This is either going to be the 2 minute exposure, or it's going to be 4 second exposure. So I'm going to transfer that trailer over to the stop bath and let that sit in there for a minute or two. Whoa. And I'm just going to agitate this and watch and see which one it is. I think it's going to be the 4 second one, which I'm anticipating a bit of light leak on because there is an issue with my it's the 2 minute one. Okay, so we've definitely got rocks, definitely got water, and there's the stick at the bottom. Something weird going on at the side there. I don't know what that is. Oh, that's rather incredible. Wow. So, most of the water is dark, but obviously because it's a 2 minute exposure, it is very soft. And those highlight areas where the ripples are have translated into very soft, puffy, almost cloud-like shapes. The rocks, I don't think they're quite in focus, but they're very detailed, and the stick in the foreground is very good. It's actually quite a nice little composition, that. Maybe with a bit more refinement, it could have been a good picture. But the, yeah, 2 minute exposure, that long exposure's worked really well with this. I am so excited to see how this works with pinhole. I really am. Oh man. Right, I'm getting the last picture out because I want to see if it's had a light leak or not. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Let's get that in the stop bath and move that one over to the fixer. This is so exciting. Okay, so there's nothing come up just yet. Oh, no, here it comes. Here comes something. Oh, upside down. I'm still having to get used to the fact that these are back to front, you know, because obviously, yeah, there's a bit of light leak on there. Obviously, there's no... It's not a negative, so it's not going to be turned round. You have to remember that these are back to front. Okay, so most of the image is dark. I underexposed this one. It's not awful. It's not awful at all. It's hard to see in the safe light exactly what it looks like, but it's definitely done something. And if I wasn't in a public space, really, and I wasn't too stressed about people coming, I maybe would have stayed a bit longer, but it's hard when you've got the large format camera and people come and you've got to try and get out of the way. But, you know, it's an image. And it will go on the blog, just like all the others. And that, ladies and gentlemen of the world, is my first experiences with Harman's Direct Positive paper. And I can say with absolute certainty that I am thrilled to bits with it. I wish I had done this years ago. That long exposure of the water is just fantastic. It's just fantastic. The trailer one, tons of detail. It is very contrasty, but there is tons of detail. It's just great. I'm in love. I'm in love with this material. I better just develop that last one and see if it actually did light leak. Or shall I save it and try and do something with it? Right, so that's the actual images. I will I'm going to pig them all up now because they need to dry. So I'll move these old negatives, I'll move this old album imprint. Hey, this would have been great for album imprinting. If these were negatives, they'd be perfect. They're just perfectly contrasty enough. I wonder if I could contact print a negative from one of these onto film and then use that to make an album imprint. Or is that too insane? I don't know. What I do know is that it's time for me to pack up. What I'm going to do is scan these in, and then I think in the next show I will go out with some different cameras and try and make some different kind of images, because I do want to see what these look like teeny tiny. I bet they're dead cute. So I've got 6 images I can talk about today, which is pretty good. And I think I am a fiber paper convert, because I like the feel of it and I'm looking forward to seeing how it dries and how these, because I know they dry a bit dark. Me and Dante would like to say a big thank you to Kevin McLeod, Sea Hero and Mr. Mike Gutterman for the wonderful music that we use in this show. You can find Kevin's music at incompetech.com. You can find Sea Hero by following the Bandcamp link in the show description. And you can find Mike Gutterman's music for our productions by going to mikegutterman.bandcamp.com. Thank you so much, guys. It means the world to us that you support us in this way. And to everyone else, thank you so much for listening.